Recording. Hello. If you do feel comfortable having your camera on, it would be lovely to see your faces. Otherwise, for me, it's a little bit like looking at some closed doors. But it's just lush to see you all here. Welcome to the 1st of March. It's March. But also welcome to what will be our regular weekly coaching call. Who knew? So for those of you who are just joining, you may have been watching some of the replays, but we had a sort of special focus halfway through January, I think we started looking at goals and our relationship with goals and how we were, you know, if we had goals that we wanted to commence at the start of the year, as sometimes we want to do. And also what that brought up, if we give it, you know, a few weeks of energy and focus, what actually happens when we focus on it. So that brought up lots of fascinating developments in looking at our relationship to our own dreams and desires, to how we might our protectors might get in the way of that, to our relationship with things like all or nothing thinking and what we make it mean when our goals don't inevitably go to plan. And it was so fun. We extended that to 6 weeks, of course, and that was so fun. We thought, actually, this is getting into a bit of a rhythm of this weekly check-in. And I've always kind of wondered if that would be where we went with this program, but I wasn't sure because, you know, it's a co-created experience. But I'm delighted that so many of you have decided to join us today. And the idea behind these calls is that it'll be open to you. I'll be here every Wednesday. There's a couple of days coming up in next month in about 6 weeks' time, but I'll let you know about that, where I'm not going to be in the country. So we won't have calls those weeks, but mostly we'll meet every week and you can bring whatever you fancy. So you may be continuing with your relationship to a particular goal, but it may be that something is going on in your life that you want to get some perspective on or just explore a little more. Maybe that you have a vague sense of discomfort that self-doubt might be involved here. What do we think? And we can look at that. And you may also just want to use this space as a way to connect with other women in this program, and in which case you're very, very welcome to come along. Sometimes I think what can happen when we're in a group like this, where, you know, we've been developing some trust and connection over some months, someone will often bring up something that we really relate to. And in watching them explore it, because we're slightly distanced from their experience, we get to have this this lovely sort of byproduct of exploring it for ourselves. So never doubt that whatever you're bringing isn't going to be helpful for you and for the rest of the group. I know in some of the communities I'm part of, where we meet quite regularly, once every week or 2 weeks, that certainly happens, where it's almost like we do this sort of Jedi mind meld type thing. and we share experiences in our own individual ways. So just a little preamble to welcome you in. And I wonder if we just take a moment to kind of get here. We've been doing this as we get into the calls, where we just kind of check in. You may want to close your eyes or just put your hand on your heart, whatever feels good to you. You may just want to just be here and put your feet on the floor and kind of feel that, whatever feels comfortable. There's no right way to do this. But the idea is that you're just kind of paying attention to your body, to your psyche, to your energy right now. And you're just offering yourself a bit of love for prioritizing this time for you. Checking in with how you're feeling right now. Whether you had a good night's sleep or, like me, you were tossing and turning all night and you feel a bit knackered. Whether you've had a peaceful morning or maybe it's felt like a three-ring circus. What emotions are floating around for you? What sensations in your body are here? And you just welcome it in, just notice it. There's no need to change anything. Nothing needs to be different. When you're ready, just give your toes a little wiggle and come back to the room. So, what is on people's minds? What do you want to chat about? What do you want to explore today? This could be a really short call if no one has anything. But yeah, who's feeling like, I got something? Who's going to be brave? Hey, Helen.
Hello, you okay? Yes, I've always got something. What's in to talk about? Okay, so I think for me, the self-doubt at the moment is I am able to host my first sort of big event in London for my work. And like, I'm a teacher, I'm used to standing in front of big groups of people, I do it on Zoom all the time, like everything about it should be easy. Yet every single step along the way, I'm like, oh, like literally like waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, stewing over it in my head. Yeah, and I don't know what it is. It's this weird self-doubt of like, what if it all goes wrong? What if no one comes? You know, all these sorts of worries. So yeah, I'm kind of sitting with that at the moment. That's where I am. And again, like I always say with these things, it's very boring and frustrating because I can see the problem and I can address the problem, but it just won't go away.
Okay. So you're planning an event and something is popping up to say, what are you hearing? What are you sensing is happening?
I think it's all those things, isn't it? Like when you're doing something that means a lot to you, it's like, what if it doesn't go well? What if no one signs up? What if people do sign up and they don't enjoy it? And I think also at the moment, I'm organising my friend's hen party, which, oh my God, I'm never going to do it again. My first and last time. But you know what? I actually think weirdly, the stress of organizing this hen party is filtering through into this work thing. And now it's like I'm seeing them as two things that are just causing like big anxiety in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's I'm curious about this event for work. It sounds like that's the thing that you're feeling the frustration around.
Yeah.
Where have you got to it? Like, what do you think's going on?
I think it's that thing of like doing something new. It's that scary feeling of doing something new. And it's not like totally new, because like I say, it's literally just face-to-face rather than doing it on Zoom. But it's that scratchy feeling you get like every time you're just going up the next step, like in your business or life, whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
So there's a little voice in my head that's almost feeling a bit like, oh, is this too soon? Are you being too big for your boots? You know?
Right. Yeah.
Stick with what you know.
Right. Yeah. So what will happen if no one comes?
Oh,
what will that mean?
I have a very expensive day out by myself in London.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the fear of losing money.
Right.
One thing.
It's very real.
Yeah, it's not just about the money though. It's more that fear of losing face.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's often what happens, isn't it? We're not really afraid of being visible or doing big things. We're afraid of what people will think.
Mm.
So what I notice as you're describing this is you're doing this thing where, which we often do, where you're putting yourself in the third person, right? Which is a way of kind of almost separating from it. Like, you know, when you do things like this, this is what you do, right? And so I'm super curious about like how you're feeling about what people might think as you're doing this.
I think that, like, you know, my job is helping people show up and be visible and do all these things in their business. And like, I'm super honest with the people I work with. Like, I say to them, like, I'm no master at this. Like, I'm just a couple of steps down the road. Like, I come here, like, I've got plenty of worries and things going on in my head. But I guess that's the thing. There's probably a little bit of pressure on myself as well to be like, I should be showing up and performing and doing all these amazing things. And and it's like, I want to be honest about the vulnerability of it, but I also feel like, be honest after the event's been and gone. Like, it's not a good sales tactic to tell everyone you're terrified.
Okay. Well, and so that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, because I make that mean that there might be a belief here. I can't really show up as myself. I've got to show up as Super Helen. Confident leader of this event. And that can create some disconnect, right? Because it's like, well, if I can't be real, I'm kind of showing up as a almost like a parody of myself.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest thing with like social media and running a business on social media, is like there's always a tug back and forth between like, do I actually really think this, or am I saying this because this is what I feel like I should be saying?
How do you know the difference?
Probably in the writing style. Like, if it's really coming from me, I can crack out a few thousand words in a blog post, you know. And right. If it feels icky 20 words later and half an hour later, it's still like taking me ages to write something and post something.
Right. Yeah, I really resonate with it. Yeah. So do you want to show up as you to this event and just be kind of real?
I think so. But you know what? I think there's also a part, and this is what I kind of feel like was the whole self-doubt thing. It's like, I want to be careful about how I word this, but it's like, in my mind, I know that a lot of what I'm feeling is, it's not that it's not real, because I feel it, I can feel that bubbly anxiety, but I also know that when I get there and it happens, I won't be nervous. I'll have those like 10 seconds of like, before everyone walks in the room, but once I'm in the flow, it's absolutely fine. So I think that's where the frustration lies, because I know, fast forward 3 months, fingers crossed, it'll go really well, you know, and I already know there's people who want to come and everything else. So I think that's where we backtrack to the whole feeling of frustration. It's like, why do I have to go through this roller coaster every time I do something a bit new or different?
Well, my reading of that, and because I experienced that as well, I've had 3 nervous wheeze in the last half hour. Going, will anyone come? Like, just to be totally frank, because maybe you go, oh no, actually, I don't want that. I kind of do, but I don't. I'll watch the recording, but I won't show up. It takes real courage to do that, right? To show up and do those things. So I think what the difference is, how do you want to treat yourself over this next few months? Because you can be frustrated and judgy with yourself, because I think frustration is always a little code for judgy, right? Somehow I shouldn't be feeling like this. Or you can offer yourself some compassion. Oh, I'm feeling like this. It's a bit unknown. Not quite sure how it's going to go. I hope it will go well. And I trust that once I get there, I'll probably be all right. But it makes sense that I feel like this.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing with it is I can think those things. It's catching myself when I then start the procrastinating, like the invoice to pay the deposit has been sat in my inbox for a long time now. And then I feel that self-sabotage, because I'm like, oh, I should really pay it. If I don't pay it, somebody else might book it. Oh, somebody else might book it. And then that'll be my excuse not to do it, because it'll be all booked up. Yeah.
Well, and you said earlier, right? Like, there is a real, you know, a real kind of risk around losing money. There always is when you're doing live events. They always cost a bit more than what you probably plan for and all of that. So that makes sense too, right? But I think you're onto something here. It's like just notice, like being onto yourself, noticing, oh, I'm not paying the deposit. What's that about? Is that, you know, and rather than trying to get to a place where I don't feel any risk and I'm kind of superhuman, playing into that like super Helen ideal persona, just be with actual real Helen who's like, shit, I've got to pay the deposit and that's actually a little bit stretchy and who is a risk and what will I do? Have I got the right size for the demand? You know, all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. Like actually taking this from your healthy adult self, which is about being real.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's that thing as well of like doing things step by step. I'm pretty much an all or nothing kind of person as well, which doesn't help. I can't do things in small chunks. I'll sit down today and be like, right, I have to organize the entire event and sell it to everybody in one day.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's the thing to notice, right? Like, is that desire is there? Because one of the things about that kind of thing, right, that kind of approach, if I can just get this over with and sell it in one day, it means I don't have to be in the discomfort of the next 3 months of not quite knowing how it's going to go.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? And I see this in other parts of my life. It's something that's like, really, I should be looking forward to it, but actually I have a bit of a feeling of like, oh, I just want to get it over and done with.
Yeah. So just notice that you're in total choice. You don't have to do this.
Yeah.
What happens when you look at that? Like there's a part of you that kind of doesn't want to do this, right? That's the part that's... you know, recognizing that, oh, I want to get this over and done with. And then there's another part of you that probably does. There might be other parts too. What's the part of you that's saying, I just want this over and done with? What does she have to offer here?
She wants to lie on the sofa and watch Netflix and not do anything. Yeah. Maybe a bit. It's not laziness. It's protection, isn't it? It's protecting myself from being judged, from it going wrong, from my feeling bad about myself.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
Yeah. So there's a part that wants to hide. Mm-hmm. Just get it over with, right? Because that's nice and protective. And then what about the part of you that had this idea and is wanting to do it? What does she offer?
Yeah, like this is what I mean. I feel a bit Jekyll and Hyde. Like one minute I'm like, this is the worst idea. And then the next I'm like, oh, I wish I could do it tomorrow. I'm so excited about it. So, you know, I enjoy these things. I like in-person events. I like presenting and training and things. So like, I know I'll enjoy it. I know it'll be really good and I'm looking forward to it. And I go to these sorts of events and sit there and think, I could do this.
Right.
But right. It's just that it's like I say, it's just because I'm doing it for the first time. It's that.
Yeah. Yeah. So and so that's the part that wants to hide. Very naturally, very understandably, the part that's a bit nervous about it, doesn't quite know how it's going to go, and is like, actually it would be a whole lot better if I just stayed at home and watched Netflix. Yeah. So why do it? Like, what's the advantage for you? What's the part that grows if you do this?
I think lots of things, like there's the obvious business things that it's good for, like my business, and I'll get to meet people face to face who I've worked with on Zoom and blah blah blah. But there's also that whole thing of like, if I want things to grow, I need to start stepping out the comfort zone a little bit more and doing slightly different, bigger things.
Yeah.
And this feeds into lots of other areas of life as well.
Yeah. So just notice that language, right, around I've got to step outside of my comfort zone, which is a totally, you know, understood way of describing these kinds of things. What if you made your comfort zone big enough that it could hold this?
Mm-hmm.
Like how can you speak to yourself, take care of yourself in a way that allows this experience to be reasonably comfortable.
Honestly, I actually think just sitting here saying all this, like, to everybody, seeing you're listening to me, like, that's almost a little bit of enough of it, just to kind of accept and like recognize, yeah, like, I feel like this, because outside, yeah, of this group I would never say any of this. I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes just hearing yourself saying it out loud is sometimes just enough to be like, okay, I've acknowledged, yeah, it, I've said it, it's out there now.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I can almost then move on from it if I just say it out, yeah, loud.
And I would offer that, you know, that's totally great. And there is a way that you can bring this you, this Helen, who is feeling a bit, you know, bit of both around it all, and also a bit vulnerable and a bit unsure and quite excited and excited to meet people in person and put on this lovely event. You can take her out into the rest of your life. You can experiment with letting her run things.
Yeah. Food for thought. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it is absolutely a symptom of our wider cultural narrative about who we have to run a business. Mm. That says you have to be extroverted and confident and constantly producing. Mm. And actually, that's all shit. You get to be real.
Yeah.
You get to be real, and then you're connecting with people in a way that actually helps them feel real too. And then when you're all meeting up, you're actually meeting the person.
Mm.
It's not a bunch of business owning personas getting together and having a very surface level interaction. Mm. And that's where I think our souls get fed a little. Mm. After the last 3 years, I think most of us are pretty hungry for some in-person connection. Mm. And we're all feeling a little bit like, oh, what's out there? There's too many people out there. All of that feels very understandable given what we've all been through.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I have like a million other things I could say actually off the back of what you said there, but I will pause and let somebody else speak. But yeah, I really appreciate it, Sass. Thank you.
And keep us in the loop. We want to know what goes on. Let us know when you pay your deposit and what you decide to do, or that you've decided to buy the onesie and lie on the sofa for a little while.
No, I'm going to pay the deposit today. I'm making a public declaration. I'm going to do it.
We are lovingly detached from whatever you choose.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. So cool. Hey, Nazreen, are you saying you would like some help or something?
I am. Because I thought I have to warn you that, you know, and it's not going to be clearly articulated. But, you know, I'll see what comes out of it anyway.
Okay.
So my courage-based goal for February, really, it turned out to be kind of February, was to complete the videos for my program.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't, well, things have basically been evolving. Like, once I actually really properly started this program, things, you know, things have changed. I've changed it a little bit. Like, I've just been sort of following my nose in terms of what people actually need. And I've reached the point where I'm like, I don't want to just offer this as a, hey, here's this whole program, because it's really the people who can benefit from it are pretty specific. And I'm sure they do exist, but I'm just not feeling, it's not feeling like aligned to go, okay, here's this amazing program and let's promote it and try and get all these people, because I really want to be able to vet the people almost to see, okay, who is it really going to be appropriate for? And so that's where that's at. It's still like it's been really great to actually do these videos because I use them all the time anyway with my in-person clients. So it's still a really useful resource. But I'm at this point where I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? Because I'm still like the overall goal is to increase my income and like find alternative streams of income, basically, because I can't fit any more actual people in. So, and I've got like various ideas and I'm like, oh, should I put my energy into like doing something with all these emails that I've got, but maybe they're not really the, maybe, well, should I do that? Or maybe I should put my energy into more of this sort of resource that could eventually maybe be sold for something. I'm just a bit like, oh, I don't know what to do now. So that's where I'm at the moment, I suppose, just making a decision and feeling a bit like, oh, I'm happy with what I've been doing so far, but I feel like I'm at this impasse, like, okay, well, it didn't really turn out how I was thinking. It's okay how it turned out, but now I need something else to still be able to move in the direction I want to be moving in.
Yeah. So what is it you want some support or help with around this dilemma?
Well, I just feel like I'm in this space and I suppose it's a bit of overwhelm as to, all right, what do I do?
Yeah.
Oh, what do I do now? Where is, and I know I'm the person who has to decide where is the best, like what is going to be the best use of my time and energy, but yeah, it all just feels very fuzzy at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's anything that can be that I can be helped with, or whether it's just like, just go away and make a decision.
Well, I'm super curious. Just help me understand a little bit about why you decided to not pursue the course. What was that decision about?
Well, I think it was because I had a lot of people contacting me that I was thinking these people would probably be a really good fit, and they turned out to not be a really good fit.
Okay.
And so I ended up offering them something else.
Right. Because I guess that's the bit I'm sort of curious about is like I'm just kind of like tuning in my antenna to where your self-doubt might be showing up here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it in, because there's a couple of places I can see that it might be, so maybe just help me understand this a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I can see that there could be some self-doubt or something holding you back from completing this course, which from what I remember just on our conversations on the forum, you wanted to create a course that you could sell to your speech therapist clients or the parents, mm-hmm. that would give them a kind of general overview that would either be a support because you didn't have space, so it's something to do while you're waiting, mm-hmm. or something that you could do alongside working with you.
Yeah, it would be either it would be for people who had such a pretty specific mild issue that it could be resolved with some support, but right. they didn't necessarily have to come to me for weekly therapy,
right.
Or for people who were already in, so I could finish also, so I could finish with people a bit earlier to free up space. So right. They could come and do their individual therapy, and then it's like, okay, now we've only got this, like, this little thing to do. You can do it with this program.
Perfect.
That's your...
And look, you know, the advantage, I mean, you know this as a business owner, right? The advantage of having something like that is that you can kind of say to people, hey, this can help you out before, during, or after working with me.
Mm.
And I think my spidey senses are saying there's something about that that still feels quite alive. And I'm wondering, like, when you say, oh, their issues are far too specific for me to support them, where does that come from?
With the program, you mean? Like, the program is not meeting that particular need?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's from the people who, when they contact me on the phone, and I think, oh, that sounds like somebody who would fit, and then they come for a consult and I go, oh, no, that's not a good fit.
Right, okay.
And I think that made me think, what if I offer this to people who I'm not going to see, the great unknown, yeah, people out there,
yeah,
then maybe it's not going to be the right thing.
Because I guess that's the bit that I'm a little bit tuned into is, have you got a really sophisticated old perfectionist tendency going on here where you're like, it's not exactly what you need because it doesn't address your very specific, unique and personal circumstances, right? So there might be a tendency to kind of go, well, I can't share this because it might not be perfect for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm you may not be right.
And it has to be perfect.
Right? Because you're like, the expert.
It has to be me.
Yeah. Okay. So, because that's the thing that I think can sometimes happen, right? Is that, like, it felt to me as you were describing this, like, oh, yes, this would be a way to bring in some more income, to support more people, all of that jazz. And I imagine that there are other speech therapists that do something like this, right? That actually have a general 30-day course or a support course or something like that that allows other speech therapists to help more people, right? And manage the kind of business model that you have with a limited number of one-to-one spaces. So what can happen then, right? And you may well be right, right? You're the expert. Please don't replace my judgment with your own in terms of your clients. And you may well be right that there are very specific issues that can only really be sorted out in a one-to-one relationship, for sure. And there may be the kinds of approaches that you take generally. So not about specific issues, perhaps, but about the way that people can support themselves, good habits to get into, the kinds of things that you sort of generally offer to most of your clients, which won't be perfect, right? Because it will be a best endeavors. 80% of people could experience some benefit from this kind of thing. So I'm just curious if any of that kind of lands and if you think, oh yes, there may be a little perfectionist creeping in here.
Yes, for sure, because I'm, and I suppose it's also the other aspect of it is like worrying about, you know, not, you know, like selling this thing that is not the perfect solution to somebody's problem. No, hang on a second.
Yeah.
This hasn't worked for me. It was like, no, but I want it to work. Yeah. Like when everybody buys it.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so that's definitely a little overworking tendency, right? An overgiving tendency.
Mm.
So,
and the question, right, like that really hits the spot, which is not, I don't think I'm generally an overworker, but I'm just like so like the way that this has changed, like there's only two people currently doing it. It's just like, you know, they're basically getting one-on-one therapy with me.
Right. Yeah.
Except like at a distance instead of actually in the, right. So it's not actually, like it is saving me some time, but I'm still investing a lot of time into it.
Yeah. So that's a great thing to recognize, right? That you've got this real deep desire to support your clients. And what can happen is you overgive to the point where you don't have the energy to support your clients, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of this is the delicate art of managing that, right? And a lot of it comes down to, I think, expectations. You know, and being willing to create the thing, sell the thing, learn from the thing, adjust the thing.
Mm.
Like we're all like, you know, we all do. No yeah. one has anything perfect first time around. And it's still not worth holding back from waiting till it's perfect.
Mm.
Right?
One thing that you said gave me an idea, actually, when you were talking about, like you mentioned sort of the things that generally help
yeah.
everybody, which are those specific videos that I have like already filmed that I'm then now making available to people who come, like I say, hey, instead of me sitting here and like going through all this, like you can watch this as well. Like his. And maybe I should actually kind of rethink it to make it a bit more general
yeah.
and a bit less. So that would help, I think, with my sort of problem in trying to make it like the perfect thing, which you will definitely need me to help you with because, like, you know, it's so specific. I could, if I make it more general, it's like this is going to help you. It's not going to take you, it's not going to completely resolve the problem. If I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think that's a really lush thing to offer to people, right? Is to say, in your kind of, you know, your spiel of introducing people to this program, it's like, hey, look, you're probably going to need some one-to-one support. And it may be that not everything is solved by these videos. Perfect.
Mm.
You know, here's how you get on my waiting list. I'd love to support you. And this will give you a head start. This might help. You know, I mean, I just always think about like the low-hanging fruit. Mm. You know, that's an awful kind of corporate-y sort of phrase. But, you know, those kinds of issues that you see all the time that you think, actually, you know, is it useful for me to spend 10 hours one-to-one or do I spend 1 hour creating a thing and send it to 10 people?
Hmm. Yeah. Because
that's really where it starts to get fun.
And that's what, you know, one of the things that originally sort of inspired this idea was knowing that there's a lot of people not necessarily on my wait list, but on like waiting for like public health services or whatever. And it's like, but you could actually, you could totally do something about this very specific mild sort of issue.
Yeah.
Like instead of waiting for like 18 months to get to see a speech pathologist. And maybe you can actually resolve it.
Oh, Ellen, how helpful is that going to be for parents who are baffled and desperate and kind of like, oh, I just need some help. And then they find you and they're like, actually, this has made an exponential difference in my child's experience.
Hmm.
And all it takes is for you to do a little bit of a whip round on some videos you've already made and put it out into the world.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds better than I put it out into the world. Anyway, I'll handle that.
Well, and that's the part, right? I mean, I think most of us, and I love what Lorna's offering you in the chat there about giving people a chance to get to know you and build a relationship. So you're the person they turn to. And then when they are kind of meeting up with their friends over, you know, dinners and what have you, they're like, oh, you must talk to this woman, Nazarene. She's amazing. She really helped our child. Like that's the kind of stuff that can only happen if you're willing to put out something that's 80% good enough.
Mm. Yes.
And what I think you're raising for all of us, which is so freaking helpful, right, is how our values can get a little bit tangled up with our protectors, right? So my sense is that you have a real value of standards and of wanting to help. Like that's a kind of, you wouldn't have chosen this line of work unless that was important to you. And so what our protectors can do is go, ooh, excellent, that's a way in, right? Now I'm going to hold you back from any risk to those values being either compromised or in any way degraded or anyone questioning them. So I'm going to hold you back, right? So you never risk those values being tested in any way.
Mm.
And I imagine that underneath that, there is quite a healthy adult self going, you know what, this gets to be good enough, that's going to help me reach more people, and it's so much better than sitting on a waiting list and feeling helpless. This is going to be better than that. So you get to help, you get to offer your work into the world at the standard. Yeah, Mary, that's a big one, right? Values is fodder for the protectors. Such a great word, fodder. Yeah, it is. My read on this, Nazarene, is that's what's going on here for you.
Mm.
I don't know if how that lands for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like this is, if you, yeah, going in this direction is, yeah, could compromise. This is what my protector's saying. It's going to compromise your values, because maybe you're going to do harm instead of helping people.
Yeah.
Etc. Mm.
And I would offer your healthy adult self knows how to figure that out, knows how to word this, knows how to explain it to people, knows how to, you know, maybe signpost folks to this in an appropriate way. Like that's all figure outable.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So, my invitation to you is revisit this. See?
Yeah.
If you haven't actually just made something really amazing and there's just a little bit of self-doubt rocking up to try and hold you back, just in case it's not perfect.
Hmm. And maybe I should just stop, you know, just giving it away from free to anybody who might. Like, because it's not the whole program, you can just...
Well, and that's another thing that we'll do, right, is we overgive. You've spent how many years training and getting this experience? A long time.
Yeah.
And that has value, right? Mm. And so you're absolutely worthy of being compensated for that, for sure. And you don't have to solve the entire health system that's screwed up and doesn't prioritize this kind of care. That's just no individual can do that, so don't wear that mantle, right? But you get to absolutely take care of you and make a beautiful business that that feeds your family and puts gas in your meter and all of that good shit, have some nice cheese occasionally. And
I live in Sardinia. Nice cheese is the order of the day.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Thank you very much.
Yes. So, so welcome. I'm so glad you waved. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thanks, Nazarene. Probably have time for one more person. if anyone wants to wave at me, if you're thinking, oh, actually, this is quite good. Anyone wants to celebrate something or ask a question or share a vague idea of discomfort, very, very welcome. Yeah, Lorna, amazing. So nice to see you on camera, glowing in the sunshine.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, unusual. Yeah, just trying to show up. Kind of being able to keep up with the course and the rhythm. I kind of lost in December and haven't managed to get back in. And the feelings and the tendencies, the very reason I signed up for the course, were creeping in. And then when I heard there was a new cohort coming in, that was me backing off. I was starting to feel, I think, in Lisa's group, especially because it wasn't filmed, it, you know, it was quite private, and I was just getting to the point of having a bit of trust, and then I could feel myself going, just, yeah, yeah. So it's lovely to have these sessions, and I feel kind of, well, if I want to show up, I need to show up. And I think it's thanks to Kate and Mary for showing up so beautifully, and it was kind of, oh, that's, I feel part of that group, but nobody sees me, nobody's heard me talk, you know. So it's kind of almost feeling that sense of belonging but not belonging, and that safer space to watch it on replay, and I can find reasons to be busy and reasons to not show up, and oh, I've got this to do, I'm so busy at work, da, da. Yeah, so
I can't thank you enough for saying that. I think that what you're articulating so beautifully is something that is shared by so many of us. And I think it makes total sense to experience that feeling of both belonging and not belonging. A couple of things I just wanted to offer, and just to reassure anyone who's watching who's like, oh man, I'm so feeling Lorna. If you're part of the September cohort, so you've come through the program already, you are so, so welcome and highly encouraged to join any of the coaching circles that you are that are running. There's about 15 new people that joined us, so it's not a massive group. You're very welcome to join those circles and go through those again. And again, those calls won't be recorded, so your privacy will be preserved, and you can gently build into that that sense of trust and connection, and all of that is that's one of the reasons why we don't record those calls. We're recording these calls because, to be perfectly honest with you, my energy just falls off a cliff at about 4 o'clock. And so because we've got folks from different time zones, this is a way for me to hopefully support people by recording the calls and allow them to get in touch if anything is sparked by what is discussed here. So I just want to really reassure anyone from the September class, all of you, these calls are only available to folks who've gone through the program already. But you are so, so welcome to go back. And Lisa and I met on Monday, and she was like, do you think folks will come back through the circle? And I'm like, I think so. I think you can rest easy. She's like, is it wrong that I miss everybody? No. Like, this is the thing. I think we we absolutely think about you and want to support you all. And I know Lisa is just, Marion and Scott as well, just totally invested. So please, please, please feel free to rock up to those circles. And you may see a couple of new faces. Yeah, you may see a couple of new faces and know that they will be feeling even more self-doubt and discomfort and like, oh, there's already an established group and do I fit in? So, you know, it's all part of that process. But my hope is that you will continue to engage in the program as much as feels good to you. And this thing, Lorna, that you mentioned about like getting behind and falling out of, you know, out of the rhythm of the program. I think now, you know, this 2 weeks per module is probably about right. I think that's going to be supportive for folks to have enough time in between to be able to just pace their learning and get support to discuss everything. So, you know, that's on me for you know, making this one module a week, which is probably just too fast. So I'm just so grateful for everybody's feedback that says, hey, this is not cool, I'm falling behind. So and a few of you were like, I really love the weekly pace, and I'm like, well, I think you'll love the two weekly as well. So hopefully it'll be fine. I see you, Mary. You're like, mom! But yeah, so I really, really just honour what you've shared, Lorna. I'm so glad that you're here and we can see you and that you are re-engaging for yourself, right, for you. And yeah, it's such human work, isn't it, right, to allow ourselves to be known and to be seen. And yeah, it's, you're so not alone in everything you shared. So thank you so much.
And I think it's coming to a group like this just for me, you know, it kind of feels, so I'm not here as a business owner, I mean, I'm not here as a mum, and I'm not here as a sister, or, you know, a spokesperson for somebody, or a, you know, that kind of, oh gosh, and it kind of feel as though I'm looking over my shoulder, well, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Who's this for? You know, who's this going to help? So in my head, I'm kind of thinking, well, it'll help the family, it'll help me in my business, it'll help, you know, rather than just thinking, this might just help me.
Imagine that. there is a fabulous book that I'm going to link to in my newsletter this week by Dr. Pooja Lakshmini, I think her surname. She's American of Indian descent, and it's called Real Self-Care. And it's just come out in the US, and I think it comes out here in the UK this week. And she talks about, in the interview that I'm going to share, she talks about this very thing you're talking about, right? How we, particularly as women, don't tend to invest in our own support networks unless they're either free or they're for someone in our life's benefit. So we'll do it for the family, we'll do it for the kids, do it for my, but to just do it because of our own sweet joy and growth is really quite troubling and a bit problematic and difficult for so many of us. And so that's, I think, why we do things like we'll treat ourselves to a little bath bomb to sneak it in the grocery shopping, right? So it's that those small things that we do to try and be inoffensive and quiet and very under the radar about the ways that we take care of ourselves. And I'm so aware of the courage that it takes to invest in a program like this, where actually, you know, it is something that you need to kind of show up to. It's not something you can really do in the background. Someone's going to notice. I'm going to notice. I'm going to see you. And I don't know you, in any other realm except you as a human right now showing up for yourself in this program. So it's crunchy stuff, right? It feels, if I think on the surface, it can feel like, yeah, just I'm doing this coaching thing or I'm going to this course. And actually what we're doing sometimes is opening a door to something where we're not quite sure who we're going to be on the way out. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's felt the frightening bit. I think the thoughts and the kind of things that have, you know, been coming up for me, and thinking, well, it's getting too big, it's getting too messy, it's getting too, you know, how do I put that all back together to carry on working, to carry on being a carer? Do you know that kind of, gosh, if I put that all on the kitchen table, where, you know, it's yeah, there's a bit too much. And then the thoughts, you know, start going down one little bit, and then thinking, oh yeah, that over there, and yeah, just feels too big,
like you're pulling on a string and the whole jersey unravels.
Yeah and I've got to put the jersey back on to be,
yeah, everyone's gonna see me
at the end of the day.
It's a lot to hold. And what I would offer, Lorna, is that you can just do one thing different today. Do one thing where you think, actually, that's something I've learned in the last 6 months about myself, something that I either need or I want, or I'd like to be different. I'm just going to do that one tiny thing today.
This is it.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. You did it. We all got to share it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And the thing about those tiny steps, right, is that over time, over a few weeks, they build up into a deeper level of trust with yourself. Right? It's not like, oh my God, suddenly I'm going to be holding a massive pile of wool and feel naked, right? Actually, I can just darn this quietly, and I can make the changes I need to make. And in a year's time, I'll have a whole different jumper.
Oh, I love that, sis.
Mm. Yeah.
Just maybe that's something I need to stop doing. Mindful mending, I think it's called, isn't it?
Mindful mending. Hello. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Just down a little hole here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're reminding me so much, Lorna. I remember when I just felt that real kind of deep overwhelm in my own life, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that's where you are, but just that feeling of, if I pull on this loose thread, I have no freaking idea what's going to happen, and how frightening that felt, and how easy it was to get into that all or nothing thinking of, this is dangerous. And at the time, I didn't really have any support, but a few months into that time in my life, I did get a therapist who just said, you know, you don't need to do it all at once. And it was just this feeling of, okay, yeah, little things. And sometimes the little things were, I'm just going to make my bed today. When I get up, I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to change the sheets every week. And the real kind of basic taking care of myself stuff. And over the year that I really started that process, and I ended up stopping drinking and getting sober and then feeling all my feelings. Mm. What kind of a shit show is that? But that process, it doesn't all have to happen in one day. It doesn't have to happen at once. And you get to manage it. You get to say, oh, this is too much, so I'm just gonna breathe and step back. Do a little bit of mindful mending.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So today, some mindful mending showing up here. Perfect.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you all. Thank you, Nazarene and Helen and Lorna, for sharing, for all of you for holding that space, and your lovely comments in the chat. How delicious. So fun. So we'll be back same time next week if you can make it. It'd be lovely to see you. If you definitely know you're like, oh, I really want some support, you can always email me in between. And then when you show up, I'll make sure that you get first dibs. Okay. So don't feel like, oh, I've got to show up on time and then panic and hopefully you'll get a spot and maybe I'll be thinking about it. Sometimes it can be like, oh, next week I'm going to bring this thing and I want to think about it first. Please feel free to do that. You know, whatever you need to be supported. Okay. All right, my loves, take care of your beautiful selves all week. Mindful mending, Lorna, that's going to be my mantra. take care, and I will see you next week. Yeah. Okay. Bye, loves. See you.